Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, you're just precious. You're perfect. You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, lead us in this place today. Take the words from your word and plant them. Plant each one in our heart deep. We rebuke Satan from stealing anything. Pour out your spirit, fill our cup, Lord. Use me as your vessel. Holy Spirit, empower us. And we give you the praise. We give you adoration. Where would we be without you? Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of my message today is The Little Red Lighthouse and the Great Gray Bridge. The Little Red Lighthouse and the Great Gray Bridge. However, I can't take credit for that title. It comes from a book. This is not original to me, but it comes from a children's book, and I want to tell you a little bit about it. This title was from a very popular children's book by Hildegard H. Swift about the most beloved lighthouse in America. The book, The Little Red Lighthouse, was inspired by the actual Jeffrey's Hook Lighthouse. This particular lighthouse was first established in 1889 and was built as the North Hook Beacon at Sandy Hook, New Jersey, where it stood until 1917. The current Jeffrey Hook's lighthouse was constructed in 1920 and commissioned in 1921. It was the second lighthouse on this site. Its purpose was to aid the navigation of shipping up the Hudson River, the major transportation artery between New York City and the interior parts of Albany, Troy, and beyond. After the George Washington Bridge was constructed in the 1930s, it was determined that the lighthouse was no longer needed. And it was deactivated in 1947 and then scheduled for demolition. However, the children's book popularized this little lighthouse, which had been dwarfed by the George Washington Bridge. Millions of children who loved this little lighthouse responded, speaking out to save it from destruction. It was later deeded to New York City. The proposed dismantling of the lighthouse in 1951 resulted in a public outcry, largely from the fans of Swift's book, leading to the preservation of the lighthouse by the City of New York Parks and Recreation. The lighthouse is now a New York City landmark and was relighted by the city in 2002. Now, the book was published in 1942, and this children's book uses the story of the building of the George Washington Bridge next to the small lighthouse to affirm the idea that even the small are important. Even the small are important. The book begins by introducing the lighthouse and its job of warning the boats on the busy Hudson River of the rocks nearby. Every night, a man climbs to the top of the lighthouse and flips on its flashing light. When there is a fog, the man additionally turns on the lighthouse's fog bell. The little lighthouse is proud of its important job and is pleased that it can help the passing boats. In the middle section of the book, the lighthouse watches, mystified, as men build a great gray bridge right next to it. When the bridge is finished, it towers above the lighthouse, making it feel small and insignificant. Even worse, one night a light begins to flash atop the bridge's tower, and the lighthouse is convinced that it is no longer needed. That night a storm whips up and fog clutches at the boats, but the man does not come to activate the lighthouse, confirming its fears that it will never shine again. However, due to the fog, the boats are unable to see the light high atop the bridge. So without the lighthouse's light or bell, the fat black tug crashes upon the rocks nearby. The bridge calls out to the lighthouse, reassuring the lighthouse that it is still needed, each to its own place, it says. The man finally arrives, complaining that some boys had stolen his keys. The lighthouse resumes its job. So glad to know it still has work to do, even though it seems so small next to the towering bridge. The book ends by encouraging the reader to go to Riverside Drive in New York City and see for yourself the lighthouse next to the bridge. Amen. Some of you Yankees, have you seen that bridge and lighthouse? Now, some would say that's just a children's book. Just a children's book. Void of much meaning. But now I want you to listen to this gospel song's lyrics. There's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light. 'Tis a light that I might see. And the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead us o'er. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would be no more. Everybody that lives around us says, tear that lighthouse down. The big ships don't sail this way anymore. There's no use of it standing around. Then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light. Yes, the light from that old lighthouse that stands up there on the hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him, for Jesus is that lighthouse. And from the rocks of sin, He has shown a light around me that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me, where would this ship be? If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me, where would this ship be? Amen. Now, this particular song is a great reminder that the world can build its big gray bridges and try to cover up the need of a lighthouse. But the fact remains, we will always need the lighthouse, and we will always need Jesus. Amen. This morning, I'd like us to use this story as a metaphor and compare it to our Christian walk. Maybe even focus in on a couple areas with the hope of encouraging you. I want to encourage you before you leave. As you know, the evil has been blatant in its attempts to remove the lighthouse from our world. It's taking the commandments off of public buildings, making laws that forbid prayer in school, passing laws allowing homosexuals to get married. They continue to try to get God out of the Pledge of Allegiance and taking God We Trust out of from the face of our money. There's countless workplaces that forbid any kind of evangelism or even the mention of the name of Jesus. And today there is an underlying current that attempts to convince the public that Christians are to be avoided and perhaps even feared. We are not normal. Some of us are even fanatical. Praise God. Praise God. The old world doesn't want the little red lighthouse to be used anymore because it no longer sees the need for a light in the midst of darkness. The world loves to operate in darkness because the truth can't be seen. However, I have news for this old world. It still needs the lighthouse. Amen? Try as they may, the cynical fanatics of this world cannot and will not turn out the light. They're not going to do it. The world needs Jesus. No matter what society believes or thinks, it does not and will not change the truth. No one can be saved without believing that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. John chapter 14 and verse number 6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Yesterday, I was sitting at a red light, and the car next to me is a little ahead of me, but alongside of me had a bumper sticker on their back window, and it said, God's too big for one religion. God's too big for one religion. Let me read this to you again. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Everyone needs the saving grace of Jesus. Because as the old saying goes, life is tough, then you die. Life is tough, then you die. Do you have a need for Jesus today? If so, Jesus is on his way. And Jesus doesn't come to rescue those who are satisfied, those who are comfortable, those who are content, those who are complacent, or those who need nothing. Jesus is always looking for someone that has a need. Amen. Jesus is drawn to those with a need. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 12 through 13, in the New Living Translation, it says, when Jesus heard this, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. Then he added, now go and learn the meaning of the scripture. I want to show you mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Amen. Now, saints, I want you to remember that Satan is known as the father of lies. There's no way he can tell the truth. No way. So when he suggests to you that the reason you have a need is because you don't have enough faith, what is your response to that accusation? You're a liar, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. About a week after we started this church, I had a man come to me, a man I knew, and he was destitute. It was probably more than a week, maybe a little longer, but within the first few months at least. And he was a regular attender of another church, and he was destitute. And he had asked the church for some financial aid. And the church told him, you don't have enough faith. Just go practice your faith and everything will be okay. It was Hosanna Christian Center then, but Turning Point Church helped those people. Amen. Never forgot that. When you run to Jesus, when you have a need and you run to Jesus, and you say to him, I need you, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Those are the most powerful words you can say. Faith is simply allowing Jesus to handle your situation, admitting to him that you need him, and trusting that he will open the door for your miracle. They're too busy seeking, worshiping, and learning about the Lord because they have a need that only Jesus can fulfill. Hallelujah. Guess what? Those are the people that attract God. God responds to them. They're the ones that are going to receive. For instance, the Shulamite woman. Amen? The old rich man and Lazarus. They had needs. They called out. And I know it's been over 2,000 years since Jesus walked the earth, but he's still the same Jesus. And he still responds to the needs of his people. Just like he did to the woman with the issue of the blood. Amen? Just like he did to poor old blind Bartimaeus. Amen? He still responds to those needs. Now, Romans chapter 3, verse 3 and 4 says, for what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but let every man a liar. It is written that you may be justified in your words, you may overcome when you are judged. The lighthouse in our story is faithful to fulfill the need and give direction that every seagoing vessel requires. These vessels need to see their way to safe harbor, clearly, even during the difficult storms that they've encountered. So the lighthouse promises it will be there, shining its light for all to see. That's what its purpose is. That's what it does. Amen? The lighthouse shows the way you need to go. This is where protection and safety is found. Amen. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? In the natural, the lighthouse does that. In the spiritual, Jesus does that, right? Amen? So the Great Gray Bridge, the world's answer, even with its splendor and impressive appearance, we see it all the time. Took Bonnie to the doctor the other day, and here's this stadium dwarfing the Astrodome, which was the biggest thing I ever seen in 1967. We see the splendor all the time of the world, right? But it can't cover up the need for the lighthouse. Come on. There's got to be a recognition for Christians to understand that the lighthouse is shining forth to the lost in their darkness. Hallelujah. Now, just like the lighthouse remains steadfast, promising to do its job, God makes us some promises too. There are 450 promises in the Word of God that can penetrate your darkness. And just like the lighthouse, they offer hope and refuge to any situation during the worst of storms. The first is in Genesis 3:15, and it says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." And the last promise is in Revelation 22, verse 12. It says, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work." That leaves 448 more promises that shine through our dark hours. Amen? Let me give you some examples. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. "For I know the thoughts I have that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope." Do you need a future and a hope today? Yes. Amen. Matthew 11, 28, 29. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul." Isaiah 40, 29 through 31. "He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Hallelujah. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all you need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God. Romans 8:37-39, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Wow. Promises, folks. Amen. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." John 7:38, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart or belly will flow rivers of living water." Amen. One more, Acts 2:17, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams." All of these promises are full of the power of God. Amen. All of them. The great gray bridge cannot overshadow, nor diminish, nor negate the truth. These promises are real, they're alive, and they're written for you and me. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on. They bring hope amidst the darkness. Have I encouraged any of you yet? Amen. Shout it out. Come on. It's just us. Amen. All these places are empty. Just us. Nobody else around here. Now, the lighthouse sacrifices itself as it stands in the dark, directing the way into a safe harbor. The storms wear off the paint. Often they undermine the foundation. Many times debris will break out the windows. Even so, the light still shines. Yep.
Amen.
Even so. That is a picture of the natural, but in the supernatural, your storms and my storms cannot damage, defeat, or destroy the power of God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The storms will in no way alter the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for you and me. We celebrated it today with Holy Communion. The Word of God says, remember.
Remember.
The blood of Jesus still flows today, brothers and sisters. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. The reason your sins and my sins are forgiven, the reason we can make it through the storms of life, is because of the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And even though his blood was shed over 2,000 years ago, it still promises the forgiving and forgetting of sin. People say that God sees everything, but there's one thing he cannot see. It's the sins that have been covered by his blood. Hallelujah. They're gone. They're gone, folks. They're gone. A preacher was speaking from the text, the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. Suddenly he was interrupted by an atheist in the crowd who asked, how can blood cleanse sin? How can blood cleanse sin? For a moment the preacher was silent. Then he countered, how can water quench thirst? How can water quench thirst? The atheist says, I do not know. But I know that it does. And the old preacher said, neither do I know how the blood of Jesus cleanses sin. But I know that it does. I know that it does. I don't understand how it works either, but the Bible says his blood has the power to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood still works today. Remember the old hymn? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's no cleansing agent on earth as powerful as the blood of Jesus. It will cleanse our past, our present, and our future. Amen. Glory to God. Aren't you thankful for the blood?
Amen.
His blood supernaturally forgives our sins and gives us life, even abundant life. Powerful entities like the Great Gray Bridge will intimidate us, making us believe they're so much bigger and better. The Great Gray Bridge may demand our attention, promote some negative thinking, even frighten us with its position of influence. But the Great Gray Bridge will never stop Jesus' ministry through us and the life of service we offer to the floundering ships all around us, folks. All around us. Amen. Now, there's something else that those frightening bridges of life cannot take away from us, and that's the precious Holy Spirit. The precious Holy Spirit. Even though the Great Gray Bridge may appear to loom over us, amen, it cannot conceal the Holy Spirit. Wow. The Holy Spirit resides in each Christian, leading us and empowering us. So his light within us will shine through. His light within us will shine through. The devil, he's relentless, though. He's relentless. He uses the big bridge to intimidate us. He covers us up with hurts and pains in attempts to obscure the light. He wants to hide the light. But the devil cannot extinguish the light, because the God dwelling in us always has the final word. His light will shine through no matter what the circumstance. We must admit the bridge looming over us is big, but our God is bigger. Amen. Our God is bigger.
Come on.
Our God is bigger.
Come on, he's bigger.
He's bigger. Come on.
He's bigger.
I had one of my old Bibles, I had a statistic. Somebody figured out that there's a scripture that says the earth is his footstool. So they figured the average height of a footstool and then multiply it by how big God is. And I don't remember the distance, the light years God is, okay? But he's big. He's big, folks. And yet he dwells in us. Wow. Wow. He's bigger than Buddha. Every once in a while, I go to the donut place, and they all have Buddhas. And they got money stacked up there and donuts stacked up there. And my God's bigger.
Yeah, he's bigger. He's the biggest
thing around. He's just a little, Buddha's just little. God is big. He's big. Hallelujah.
My dad's bigger than your dad. Yep, that's true. My dad's bigger than me. That's right. You can't get any bigger than that.
Now, I want us to consider the foghorn. In our story, it was called a fog bell. I was born and raised in Muskegon, Michigan, which is located on the western side of the state on the coast of Lake Michigan. And the city of Muskegon wraps around an inland lake that, strangely enough, called Muskegon Lake. I don't know where they got that name, but the city's wrapped around there. And between Muskegon Lake and Lake Michigan, they, at some time or another, they cut a channel through there. Why did they cut a channel through there? To make a safe harbor. Amen? Make a safe harbor. Lake Michigan has a history of becoming very angry and dangerous to boaters and to ships. So at the entrance to that channel on Lake Michigan's side, they built a lighthouse. Today it's operated by the Coast Guard, and they have a base right there at the lighthouse. Got their boats and all that sitting there. What I remember most, not the light, I remember the foghorn. You could hear it for miles. For miles. In our story of the little red lighthouse, the world wanted it to be silenced. But after millions of children who loved this little book, they spoke out, and the lighthouse was saved from destruction. When I wrote that sentence down, I thought about our petition. Maybe you should check up on the ones you sent out. Why? Well, evil's trying to, every tactic they can, to silence the church of the living God. And we must let our voice be heard. Amen? We must let our voice be heard. In Mark chapter 6, starting with verse 21, it says, "Then an opportune day came when Herod on his birthday gave a feast for his nobles, the high officers and the chief men of Galilee. And when Herodias' daughter herself came in and danced and pleased Herod and those who sat with him, the king said to the girl, 'Ask me whatever you want, and I will give it to you.' He also swore to her, 'Whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half my kingdom.' So she went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask?" And she said, the mother said, "The head of John the Baptist." The head of John the Baptist. Now, John's enemy did not want his possessions. John's enemy did not want his social connections. John's enemy did not want his vest of camel hair. The enemy only wanted one thing. He wanted John's tongue to be silenced.
Absolutely.
They wanted his tongue to be silenced. It's exactly what the enemy wants to rob from you. It's your voice.
Come on.
Amen. He wants to silence the church, folks. He wants to silence the people of God. He wants to silence the prayers of unlimited intercessors. He wants to hinder the passion of revival. And he wants to quiet the worship of the saints. Understand, he recognizes that the enemy recognizes that one of the most powerful things you have, one of the tools of victory for your life, is found in your voice. It's in your voice, what you declare. Satan wants to silence your voice. So let me ask you, since when do we do what the enemy wants us to do? Shouldn't it be we do the opposite thing? Amen. Amen. Can you use your voice to give a shout over the power of the enemy?
Yes.
Can we do that? Hallelujah. Can you cry out with passion?
Yes.
Amen. Can you praise the Lord with triumphant joy?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. The enemy will do his very best to silence you with waves of condemnation and storms of intimidation. Wow. Why? Because he's afraid of your voice.
Yes.
If I'm like this, I'm not praising.
Come on.
If I'm overwhelmed, I can't rejoice. And all the time I'm doing this, nothing is getting done for my situation. You have a voice. I think part of the reason they wanted John's head was because he was a messenger for Jesus. And I want to tell you, folks, you are messengers for Jesus. Amen? You are messengers for Jesus. I don't see much difference there. John openly spoke about Jesus.
Right.
And when you and I openly speak about Jesus, you will receive some ridicule.
Amen.
I don't know that you'll lose your head, but there's people in the eastern countries that have.
That's right.
That's right. They wouldn't deny him. I want the foghorn of the gospel to protect me from the rocks of destruction. I want to be able to hear God clearly. I want him to speak specifically into my ears. I would really like him to write it in the skies, but I will settle for that small, still voice giving me direction and guidance. Shining the light on the way to go. The message for the church is found in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21. It says, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." Now, I want to repeat that last phrase there. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. That brings us into the topic of the fivefold ministry of the church. Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Each ministry becomes the voice of God. Each ministry becomes the voice of God. They are today's voice in the wilderness, constantly pointing the way to a safe harbor. The voices will help you sail on tranquil waters. Tranquil waters. The rocks are not your friends, folks. They can be beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. But they're not your friends. They represent destruction. But the mission of the lighthouse is fixed.
Yes, it is.
It's fixed. It's to bring you into God's perfect peace. God's perfect peace. Hallelujah. Today I want you to make a choice. I want you to let the gospel and the fog horn, the light of the gospel and the fog horn of discipleship guide your ship into God's provision and care. I want us to look for the light. I want us to listen for the sound. I didn't get saved until I was really about 35 years old, but I grew up in church. Y'all know that. My dad was one of the leaders of the church. And every once in a while, somebody in the church would need help. And I saw this. It was in part of my family. And a group of people would go help with money, food, whatever was needed. Once in a while. Well, 65 years later, 70 years later, I doubt if there's a family in here that doesn't have a need. We need to see the light. We need to hear the foghorn.
Amen. Yes.
Are things getting closer and closer to the end time? You bet they are. The devil's getting more and more active. Each one of us has stories we could tell. What do we do? I want to go to safe harbor. So I'm looking for the light. I'm listening for his voice. I want direction. The Word of God gives us direction. There's direction that He sends through His people. We talked about the fivefold ministry. There's a lot of direction comes through the fivefold ministry, folks. We need that. And God provided it because He knew we needed that. The rocks are all around us. Everywhere. And if He can get you, here God puts you in the perfect spot to share, to witness. And if he can keep you from doing that, Satan says, I won. Victory's mine. Okay? And the reason you might not be able to share is because you're weighted down. There's not a thing that happens to us that doesn't go through the filter of Jesus Christ.
Exactly, exactly.
Why me? Ask Jesus.
Why not me?
Yeah. Ask Jesus. It's not a thing that we go through. If you're walking as a Christian. Hallelujah. Folks, I want to encourage you. I want to be your pastor, but I can't stop the war.
That's right.
I can't stop things from happening. A week ago, I had vertigo. Man, I stomped my feet. I put it in its place. I told God, take it from me. He already paid the price.
That's right.
All those things. But I still had vertigo. So what did I do? I got up and preached.
Yes.
Amen? What do we do?
Right.
We keep going.
Keep going.
We keep doing.
Yes.
That's really faith.
Amen.
That's really faith. Walk. When you've done all to stand... Stand. Keep going. Keep going. Those things that bring us down will make us sick. Sicker. I want us to rejoice. Where you are is a miracle. If you love Jesus this morning, it's a miracle. Your life is a miracle. Do you have all the answers? Nope. And you never will, but you have some. Keep walking. Keep standing. Keep believing. I don't care how many bridges they build over you. There's still a Savior that sends out His light. When it's dark, when the rocks want to get you, there's still a Savior that sends out the light. He's going to rescue us. He's going to rescue us. He'll show us the direction. Tap me here, Lord. Tap me here. Let me go this way. Let me go that way. Lead me in this mess. Hallelujah. Let's stand together.